to John. That was good. Thank you, kids. I need Sunday school teachers downstairs. There's a couple of you upstairs. So Ashley needs to stay downstairs. Well, then you got to go first. So our Sunday school program's over for the year. We're very grateful for everyone who's helped. Ashley is one of our faithful helpers. Thank you. Out to nursery. So I'm going to have you all come up here at once, and that way you feel like you've got moral support or something. So Erica, come up front. Priscilla's already here. Lois, James, come up here. I'm lonely. David, Chris, Jake is away. So this is youth and Sunday school. Youth and Sunday school. And Jeff and Jen. You all got to come up here. So everybody sees who you are, and everyone's going to say nice things to you afterwards. Because I'm very grateful. These people volunteer. They go above and beyond what they're asked to do and ministering to the kids. And Jeff and Jen minister to all of us. Thank you, guys. They kind of keep us all in line. Erica, thank you. Priscilla, thank you. What's your name? James, thank you. David, thank you. Chris, thank you. Thank you all very much. And Jake's away on vacation. He had his last day teaching public school on Friday, and they're down to Martha's Vineyard. So a reminder, you see the bottles here. Hopefully in another week or so, someone from CareNext is actually going to come in and give a brief presentation. Katie talked to me about that and what their ministry is. If you have a chance and you're in Brunswick, stop in and see their facility and talk to one of their volunteers. It's a great ministry. So if you get one of these home, put it out in the open so you see it and get something in it and get them back here so they can go to work with that ministry. So the summer series I'm working on, I've called it Go to the Bible, Go to Scripture. The Bible is our operator's manual given from our designer, creator, Father God. And the more time we spend understanding His Word, the better off we are. It helps. And yet, there's a lot of things that apply for our time. So now, officially, summer has started. School is out. There's no more school this week. Did finally all the schools end? They have snow days and everything else. I think it's over. So it's not about going on vacation. It's about telling everyone I'm online, right? That's what it's supposed to say. I'm on vacation, but they do it all on Facebook. You know, somebody hasn't even got there, and they've posted 6 posts on the way there that they stopped at McDonald's like we really care. But anyway, you've got to follow them on Facebook, those kind of things. So I'm just going to relax and enjoy a quiet evening at home, mainly because I can't afford to go anywhere or do anything. Some of us might do that, and that's okay too. My last one is a summer internship, you young people. It's a great way to learn how people at a company pretend to work. Anyone ever do any interning? It's kind of sad that's been lost because I really think that's a great program. Pardon? Yeah, that's a great thing. They didn't call it interning when I was young. We worked summer jobs, but I actually did, when I look back on some training, some interning, which was good stuff. So we're going to talk, what does the Bible say about rest? Doesn't use the word relax in Scripture. But it does talk about rest. The Bible certainly talks about how to deal with anxiety. Stress isn't a word that shows up in any of the 3 biblical languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, or Greek. But let's face it, we live in quite a pace now. How many of you remembered to silence your cell phone when you came in? My cell phone, the way it is, I have an Android, all you iPhone people can make fun of me, but so I put it on all, everything's on vibrate. The only thing that doesn't go on vibrate, and it has to do with my GPS location, are text messages. So because GPS knows I'm not at the house, I'm not likely to get a text from anybody except from the fire department. So the fire department texts, all of a sudden they'll start talking. New text from LisbonPolice.com, blah, 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 blah. So that's real handy when you're in the middle of a church service. I don't know how to turn that off unless I turn off all. I've looked at the menus and whatever. It is what it is. I just shut it off some of the time and then forget to turn it on, which isn't good. So electronic devices, we're bombarded with information. And information, you know this, but I'll just say it to remind you. Information alone doesn't fix anything. Information doesn't fix things. I have a couple old tractors I'm working on, lawn tractors. I have manuals and I have information, but they don't get fixed until I start taking that motor apart and using the information and replacing parts. Information certainly helps and it's critically important, but it alone in and of itself doesn't fix things. So you're going to get some information this morning. God's word is certainly information, but it has to be applied. It has to be taken in, internalized, and practiced for it to work. So what's rest? Technical definition. Rest, cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. We're going to look at some more of those words. Relax. Make or become less tense or anxious. Years ago, my cousin took musical instrument lessons, and I couldn't do it the way he did. Those of you who know Dale Noss, he's a character anyway, but Dale would say, I'd be sitting with my lesson as a kid, and I'm nervous, and I'd be playing and making my mistakes, so the teacher would turn to me and go, relax, relax, relax. And he said, that really helped. Somebody shouts relax at you, it doesn't work. That's not how our bodies are wired. So when we talk about rest or relax, what's involved with that? This is from one of the Christian websites I use. Rest is important to your spiritual walk with the Lord, and many Christians today don't appreciate the value of rest or keeping the Sabbath day holy. Rest allows our mind, body, and soul to renew and start with even more strength and focus. Scripture is filled with God's promises to provide rest when we seek Him. That's very fundamental in this discussion. God provides rest application when we seek Him. God is an endless source of peace and strength, and He created us to need Him. The following Bible verses will inspire you to slow down and find rest, even if for a moment in God's presence. BibleStudyTools.com. It's a good website. Let me talk a little bit about Sabbath, because if you come from different backgrounds, my background's probably not the same as yours, a lot of confusion about what is Sabbath keeping and how does it play out? So Sabbath shows up definitively, if you've read your Bible, you're familiar with the Bible, where does it really come out emphatically in the Old Testament? Book of, any guesses? Exodus. Any guesses? You go to Sunday school chapter 20, and it's part of what we call the Ten Commandments. Okay, the Ten Commandments. So there's a lot of talk and interest about, in some groups, about what is Sabbath keeping, how do you do it. Years ago, Lois and I were ministering to an older couple. We were visiting with them, and they believed in a sundown to sundown Sabbath. That's fine. But I remember the wife, and I was talking with the husband, Lois was talking with the wife, and she's saying, I am so stressed out on the Sabbath. And as we talked about it in the car going home, Lois goes, I don't think that's how it's supposed to work. I think it's supposed to work the other way around. And if I remember the story, right, this is a number of years ago, she says, I really like to do this some little hobby, but I can't do that because it's the Sabbath. And that would relax me. And so we knew there was a disconnect between what's God's purpose in it and what works for me and on those kind of things. So first of all, and this verse gets abused a lot. We're not, Paul would write to the church in Rome, we're not under law, but we're under grace. And that doesn't mean I can go out and kill somebody I don't like. You know, you still don't commit murder. But how does the Sabbath work for Christians post the resurrection of Christ? I think there are different rules before Christ comes out of the grave, but I think the rules changed after Christ was resurrected. So you are no longer legally required to keep a sundown to sundown Sabbath because, this is pivotal to me, Jesus Himself is our rest. Well, where do we get that? Hebrews chapter 4. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Now, the writer of Hebrews doesn't identify himself. You know I'm a gambling man. I wager it's Paul. I'm not really. But I think it was Paul that wrote it. There's a lot of what we call Pauline thought and talk in it. So it's a play on words. God rests from his work. Works salvation versus faith salvation. There's a lot going on there. And then he says, let us therefore strive. And that's, again, he's making the contradiction for the point, because striving isn't rest. But strive to enter that rest. And then he answers that. Since, then, we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, Jesus is that rest. There is no other Sabbath rest. I'm back to the website now. That was Hebrews 4. Besides Jesus, he alone satisfies the requirements of the law, and he alone provides the sacrifice that atones for sin. He is God's plan for us to cease from the labor of our own works or efforts. We dare not reject this one and only way of salvation. John 14:6, where Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Sabbath rest comes first and foremost in Christ. Without Christ, you're just doing an Old Testament works project, and you're not going to get a huge blessing out of it, in my opinion. But you can get a blessing to stop. So I don't. When I rest, it's not a Jewish-styled rest. It is, I hope, a grace-filled rest in Christ. I think they're very, very different, because I've done both. What are the two greatest commandments? If you've been brought up in Sunday school or gone to church anywhere, these are pretty commonly emphasized. And why would I talk about these commandments today when I'm focusing on rest? I'll let you think for a second. Why would I talk about the two greatest commandments when I'm talking about rest? Jesus is asked, what's the greatest? And the first one is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, might, strength, depending on which version you read and which of the Gospels it's in. But what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. He said everything hinges around those. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is why where it applies. How can you help your neighbor if you are personally sick and or burned out? What have you got to give if you're on the verge of burnout? Now, ironically, because God has a sense of humor, I was planning on this talk today about biblical rest, mainly because I'd been looking at the calendar and I knew school was out and I knew it was vacation season. I thought this is a good time to look at this and I need to look at it. And then, after I was already down that path, I realized I'd signed on to a 3-day training in Waterville, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I wasn't really after the certification. I did get certified, but I was looking for tools, and it is called CISM. Anyone know what CISM is? Critical Incident Stress Management. And it was training for first responders. It was police, fire, and EMS that were there, and chaplains. And how do we deal with the stress of those particular types of jobs? And in Durham, it's not as bad probably as if I were an EMT, let's say, in Miami or Detroit. And yet, even in Durham, I have seen things that I really didn't want to see. And just seeing them, and it isn't the TV world. I know you can watch all kinds of crap on TV, but in real life, it's very different when you see significant trauma, significant injury, significant harm, and then the impact it's having on others. It could be family members. It could be bystanders. So what do you do with that? So we had 2 days of very specific training on how the structure of that whole thing works. But I went in there with two questions. I'm a question guy. I like to ask questions. My question is, what works? But I have a corollary question. What doesn't work? I want to know what actually helps. May not help everybody. We're all different. But I like to know what works. I like to know what doesn't work. Isn't that true about a lot of life? What works and what doesn't work? We can simplify a lot of things. If this doesn't work, gee, I really want to try that a while. No, I don't. I want to know what works. So Friday, we had a panel of 4 people who have dealt with significant traumatic events that were cumulative. They added up over time, and they gave their testimonies of how they worked through it. And for 2 of the individuals, it had taken them about 6 years to go from the point of crashing in what I will call not clinical, but still, just for this morning, I'm not going to get clinical with you because I'll mess it up. But just let's say burned out. They became burned out with their jobs. They couldn't perform in their jobs. And they're about 5 to 6 years out. They're starting to come back. But as one of the paramedics, it was a woman paramedic, said, I still cannot do a night shift because of the trauma. And I'm still very selective what I can do. But one of the cops spoke up and he said, we don't have that option. It's nice that you work for an EMS service where you can say, I can't handle this call, somebody else needs to take it. But he says, as a cop, the minute I say, I can't do something, guess what happens to my job, to my career? It's, so we don't have that luxury. We just get to get up and go regardless of how cumulative. And there was discussion on how their local agencies support them, how the state supports them, all those kind of things. But basically, stress is cumulative. The way our brains are wired, we had classes on the parts of the brain, the whole thing. But you can't deal with ongoing stress all the time without it having an impact. And all of us, in one shape, form, or another, are dealing with ongoing stress. Sometimes it's the real punch in the stomach, big deal, very traumatic. Sometimes it's just a whole pile of little things, one after another. And then another little thing comes along, and we snap at that, and everyone around us goes, that wasn't that big a deal. What made you go off on that one? It was cumulative. It had all added up, and boom, that was it. You're off. So we need some help. I need some help. Our last session in this training was for us, the so-called trainers, because if we don't take care of ourselves, what's the point? So we're gonna see how some of this may work, but the application is really going to be your deal. So taking care of yourself biblically, taking care of yourself biblically, scriptures for rest. We as Christians need to take care of ourselves. We think, no, we don't. We're just to give, 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 and that's the best thing we can do to show others we love God. We'll just go, go, go. We never say no. You have to say no. That's actually one of the best ways to prevent burnout is to learn how to say no. I won't go do this. I don't have to do this. So this morning, I'm working on my notes. It's Sunday morning, and my thing goes off that we have a critical call a half mile away. And where does my brain go? I've got to go do that critical call. And yet I know I can't go do that critical call because if I go on that scene and I'm going to do what I think I'm responsible to do, I'll be in that scene for 2 hours. And my brain's going, who can I call and say, who wants to take the Sunday service in an hour? who's primed and ready? But then that has an impact on me emotionally too. Others went, and I'm glad for those who went. I've talked to a couple of them. I think from what I've got from initial feedback, they did a great job helping this family. There's more follow-up to do with that. But sometimes you can't do everything you think that you've got to do, and somebody else is going to do it, and it's going to be okay. They might even do it better than you do it. We can let go and let something happen. So I've got some verses we're going to look at. We're going to look at some practical things too. Taking care of yourself biblically. This is one of my first go-tos that I call them come back to's now. It's not just go-to. I've got to come back to these verses. And I really, these verses kind of sunk into my mind and being about 36 years ago when I was my first pastor assignment in the Tilton Northfield part of New Hampshire. And this was, I inherited these verses on my sign at the church I went to pastor. Matthew 11:28 was on the sign. So I saw that every time I was at the church. The previous pastor had somehow sensed that's what the Lord wanted and put it there. And I'm glad he did, because for the 5 years I was there, I looked at that and it started to sink in. How will I find rest? Who is my source of rest? How do I do this? I haven't done it perfectly by a long shot, but I'm still working on it. So just read this out loud with me, if you will. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, why would Jesus include the words gentle and humble in heart in that little passage? I've had more time than you have to puzzle over it. He's going to pull us out of this mini Messiah complex that actually is somewhat healthy, often in the human brain, but often it also often not healthy, that I've got to be the one that does this. I've got to be the one that fixes this. I've got to be the one. But the humble and gentle things makes it so I can back off and know somebody else can, and maybe they will learn and grow through it. It'll actually be beneficial to them. I don't have to do everything. I need to come to Jesus and rest. You know the story about Mary and Martha, and Jesus is teaching. And by the way, both of those sisters are amazing as you continue to read about them in Scripture. But who's busy out in the kitchen? Martha, you remember? Martha's busy out in the kitchen. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. Man, answer this. Who would you rather be married to? Okay, so we'll move on from there. Hey, one of them's making the meal. That's pretty practical. I married the spiritual one and I'm starving. But anyway, so you get beyond all that. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to take away. This is the right thing. You got to stop. But you read later on, Martha's okay. She's got her heart right. When their brother Lazarus dies, you need to read that exchange. She has one of the clearest testimonies of who Jesus really is in all of Scripture. It's awesome. So we're wired differently. We do different things. Doesn't make someone better or worse than somebody else. We've got to figure out who we are and come to Christ and get some help. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like this little one from Mark's gospel. Then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and what? Get some rest. Now when Jesus says, I mess with it this way. Come with me, is that a command or a suggestion? English verbiage. It is. It's imperative voice. It's a command. So I think there's a reason it should be command, but I do also think it's very invitational. Because remember, communication is some high percentage body language. Depends who you're with. Some people's words are pretty loud. I don't need their body language. But it's both. We have words and body language. So I think he was very invitational in his body language, even though it would be the imperative voice. Come to me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Get some rest. Great verse, Mark 6:31. I love this one from Proverbs. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. It's from the ESV, which is a great newer translation. He will not be visited by harm. In our class on Friday, one of the gal that was recovering from 5 years of basically what we would now diagnose as medical expert PTSD, she's recovering from that. She talked about the two things that impacted her the most was loss of control and loss of trust or fear. She was betrayed by somebody else, so now that's loss of trust, and then coupled with that, loss of control. And she said, it was so unnerving to me. I wouldn't get groceries. I went out and got a concealed weapons permit. I lost stability in the things that you and I, when our brains are healthy, the things that keep us going. So the fear of the Lord, respect, awe, reverence, trust, leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. From the presenters I heard, the number one indicator that there's something not right is lack or loss of sleep. Not just replay, it's not just all that stuff. Those, by the way, have to happen after a traumatic event. That's perfectly normal. But once you're into days and days with loss of sleep, something's really not resetting in the brain. So we need to rest satisfied, and God can bring us to that place. That doesn't mean you don't need to get professional help. Don't get me wrong. If you are so stressed that you haven't been sleeping for days or weeks, you need scripture, but you need professional help too. Please go to your doctor and get things going. I love this verse from Zephaniah. I love music, and music, by the way, we'll look at music's a great way for soul rebuilding too. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exult over you with what? Loud singing, as the way the ESV has it from the Hebrew. I think that's really cool. He exult over you with loud singing, but he will quiet you with his love, when you feel love. You know, parenting, when a kid's upset, I've seen it, my wife did it, there's something about the ability to quiet a child. There's an emotional connection that's made there. It can be holding, it can be humming, it can be a variety of things. But I think that's what God wants to do to us. If we'll just come to him, he will quiet us, and he's good at it. The fourth chapter of Philippians is a great, again, return to verse, go to verse, verses. And all the way down through, because I don't have the whole chapter up here in my slides. Rejoice in the Lord always. We'll talk about laughter in a minute and joy. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's another help for your brain, is the more you're thankful, you can't be worried about something and thankful about it simultaneously. You're going to shift gears. You can bounce back and forth pretty fast. But I'm not. If I'm really thanking God for the blessings, I can't stay in the worry state. And with everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the result, the peace of God, which the older translations transcends. I love that word. Transcends all understanding. Will do something. And think of the world we live in today. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a protection there. When I am before God in prayer, when I'm thanking Him for His blessings, that is literally a protective, a defensive measure for my mental health. And then he goes on to say the good things that you need to focus your mind on. It's a great chapter. And good old Peter probably knew something about anxiety too. But he would write later on, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And here's how you do it. Casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. And then I've got just two more, both Old Testament ones, but they're very, very well-known and often used Old Testament passages. Psalm 91. And if you've read Corrie Ten Boom's book, or if you've read anything about Christians that survived the Holocaust, it wasn't just Jews, but it was Christians. In her case, they were protecting Jews. This psalm was very powerful to them. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So it's poetic imagery, but to kind of visualize that. In a hot desert place, I'm in a shelter. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. He is my metric fortress. And then my last one in Scripture is Isaiah 26. Again, one of the verses that I return to. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, and in this translation, is stayed on thee. I think of John 15, where Jesus says to the disciples, remain in me or abide in me, and I will abide in you. There's something about staying connected with our Lord that can make a huge difference. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting what? Rock, not movable, strong, secure. So, just think about these words for a minute as I put them up here. These are what I call the rewords. There's a whole pile of them. This isn't exhaustive. What it means to be renewed, not library books. Does anybody go to the library anymore? I know Greg does. There's a few people in the room that actually use a library. Lord bless you. Great resource. To renew. I'm not talking about renewing a book, but internal renewal. To refresh. I guarantee if you swim in the ocean today, you will be refreshed. Still pretty cold. Sebago is probably still pretty cold, too. But that was my mom's line when we go swimming. She'd say, this is so refreshing. That meant, as kids, we translated it was icy cold water. This is so refreshing. No, it's icy cold. To restore, bring back to the state it's supposed to be in. To regain, that means something's been lost. I'm getting it back to regain, not poundage. To re-energize, something where I just... I'm pooped. I haven't got it. I'm finding some energy. Again, recover is like regain. I'm getting something back to the state it's supposed to be in. And even the word rest starts with R-E. not a reword, but there's more words like that too. But you kind of get the picture. Something needs to happen because we lose ground emotionally and spiritually and physically. And by the way, you know medically, if you're emotionally stressed, what happens physically? Oh, all kinds of stuff. Your immune system breaks down. Your digestive system breaks down. Literally, they have studied now when you have a traumatic incident to yourself or a loved one, and you all of a sudden they say you have the punch in the stomach feeling. That is the physiological response to the brain. It's what it's doing to the muscles, what it's doing to the blood supply. This is real. It takes its toll. So what are some of the practical ways to renew? You know, if you're doing the work study notes, the study notes, you can write on the back all kinds of things. Everybody's going to have a little different. Some of them are going to be similar. Some of them are going to be very different. Mine are probably going to be slightly different than yours. But there'll be a lot of them that are similar. Obviously, I'm going to say you need time with God. I thought it was interesting, back to the course, they were saying for first responders, they need to take 10 minutes by themselves doing something they like. And I thought, well, some of us have been teaching that for years, and I was taught that for years. If I spend 10 minutes with God in the morning, I'm far better off than if I miss that 10-minute time with God to start my day. And they didn't word it that way. And by the way, we had this at a church. They were not anti-Christian principles, but we actually rented from a church for it. Walking is all, you can read all kinds of, or running if you're a runner, whatever, but doing something, it helps the metabolism. It literally does, if you're doing it a distance and you're doing it regularly, it actually has a cleaning process for the whole system. You've got to have a time when you turn off the devices, and if you're raising kids, you've got to figure this out. How do you do this with your kids? How do you have time where the devices are turned off? But I've got to be careful. I could see myself saying, child or grandchild, turn that off, and then 10 seconds later, my phone goes bzz, bzz, and I'm looking at it and go, oh, look at this. So, you know, you got to play fair. If parents can tell their kids to turn them off, maybe the parents should turn them off for the same amount of time. And everybody takes a time out on it, because all this stuff going on does impact us. I'm a music person. I thought I was going to be a music teacher. But music has its own way of ministering to everybody, and obviously we have different styles and tastes in music here. For me, listening to music is good, but playing music is better. And if I'm stressed, I can pick up a guitar at home and play some, I only play simple stuff anyway, but play some simple stuff, and it literally, I can feel muscle relaxation taking place. And I think I call it a physiological thing, because it affects our emotions, music. But just, I'm thinking of an acoustic guitar for myself. The vibrations of it, I just think are wonderful. When I am holding a guitar and playing it, it just feels right. So that, you say, this guy really is, there's something wrong up there. But it works, playing music. Other musicians, I have other musicians in the room. Do you feel better drumming, Josh? It's the vibrations, I'm telling you. Okay. Reading. Some people, I'm sure it depends what you read. Hey, let's do Stephen King tonight. But you want to read something that where you relax and unwind. Somebody gave me a book the other day. I started reading, and it's just anecdotal. It's a simple little book about someone's life, and it's very relaxing. It's refreshing. Okay, now we're going to do an exercise. I was at a grief training seminar back in May. And they actually had a yoga instructor there to help us do some breathing things that can be very helpful. But he had us do a laughing exercise. And I thought, this guy is, woohoo, he's over the edge. But anyway. So he said, this is how we did it. So we'll do it today. He said, for a minute, you know, put down your cell phone, whatever. And he says, I just want you to look at some person next to you and laugh with them. So, see? You can do it pretty easily, right? You know, I look at Andy or Steve, they look at me, they start laughing, you know, you start laughing. Okay, now everybody all together, and some of you are fighting this. This is what's great about it. Some of you are actively resisting this. And gee, what does that tell me about you? So the next thing is everybody's going to do a belly laugh all together. So we're in a room of 300 caregivers, and I'm thinking, this is really spooky, weird. So we all did. Let's all do a belly laugh together. Some of you are having a problem still. So, yes. Some of you are going to need a lot more laughter before you start, you know, getting the recover mode. But laughing, again, it's both a mental response, but it's also a bodily response, all the different things that trigger. So laughing is a good thing. You know, I love my family. We laugh a lot. We do summer vacation with Lois's family. Some of you know Lois's family. See, I start laughing. Anyway, we get together. We laugh a lot. We're a crazy bunch. And it's therapeutic. There's a real therapy in that. That's why when people just tick you off, you don't want to spend time with them. You ever figured that out? There's a reason. There's actually a bodily response going on. And those are the ones you laugh at incorrectly. Better diet. And, of course, you've all heard this, but nobody knows how to apply it. Reduced caffeine, right? Reduced caffeine. It's not good stuff. And, again, the website's loaded with good stuff. The websites are loaded with wacky stuff. You got to sort it all out. Not just journaling. I like this one, and I'm going to experiment with it myself, but it was called gratitude. This wasn't, by the way, most of these weren't at my workshop I was on. This is my own stuff I'm working on. A gratitude journal. I've done journaling before where I've written about the day and just how I'm doing with my walk with the Lord, but this is different because in your journaling, what are you writing if it's a gratitude journal? The positive stuff. So I'm saying, God answered this prayer here, or he helped me here in this little tiny way. You're just writing it out and saying, but then when you start reflecting backwards, you get a few pages written and you're going, God's helped me here, God's helped me here, God's helped me here. God, hey, God helps me. I'm starting to get this. So not just journaling, but gratitude journaling. So write a note to stress. You know, it's a relationship you can break up. You can break up with stress, but do it biblically. And talk about it is if you live alone, it's a little more challenging. But if you get people around you, it's something to talk about them. We're going to close with a song that I think is a stress-relieving song because God's sovereignty means he is very much in control, and he is. And when we get to, it quotes Romans 8, and you're never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. Now, that's a hard thing to say, but it's still true. So we ask you to stand with us. Easy to sing, hard to practice. Whatever comes my way, I will trust you. And yet so much of life, that's just the reality of it. We either choose to trust you in this experience or try stumble through it on our own and experience greater pain and loss, if you will. But when we come to you, faithful Father God, you are here for us. Your right hand, it says, upholds us, great word. And we know, Jesus, our salvation is secure because of your work on the cross for us. Maybe there's someone here that's, what? I don't have that kind of assurance. You can have that. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to know that when my time comes, I go right into your presence. And I've tried all kinds of things. I don't think that works. It doesn't. But Jesus, forgive me my sins. That's what you did on the cross. And then just silently say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Thank you for taking my sin on yourself on the cross. And then giving me the free gift of eternal life. So that's taken care of. Eternal life is a gift from God through Jesus, his son. But now just dealing with the day-to-day stresses of work and money and relationships and health and all the things that we deal with, we come to you, Jesus. We accept your both command and invitation. Come to me, all you that labor, because I got something for you. I will give you rest. Help us to be practical in the application of finding rest, especially, I think, this summer. It's, you know, school's out. It doesn't mean life is less hectic. We've got jobs, we've got families, and those that, you know, kids are out of school, they got to take care of them. It can be more stressful. We come to you, great Heavenly Father, knowing you have a way through for us. Amen? So encourage each other with this by your Spirit, God. Help us to be, as we find, you're relieving our stress. And we can come alongside someone else and help them and encourage them. Amen? Well, you are dismissed. What we're going to do now is out to the fellowship hall. We're going to have some lunch together out there. If you say, I didn't know that, I didn't bring anything. You know, we always do loaves and fishes because they're the easiest to multiply. I don't know what we got, but in the Bible, they were easy to multiply, I guess. So we're going to do some lunch together out there. We're also going to have a little party. Someone up here is expecting a baby. It's not me. It's not her. It's not her. So we're going to do a little card shower for her. Yeah, probably. Wow. So I hope you can see.